by listening.
To bring us up to time for our next regularly scheduled program, we now bring you the following informative feature.
Mycobacterium avium complex. Dear Dr. Roach, my husband is being tested to confirm the pulmonologist's tentative diagnosis of Mycobacterium avium complex. He was a relatively healthy person up to this point, so could you please explain how he could have contracted this? The prognosis does not look good. Are there any new treatments available? Dr. Roach writes, Mycobacterium avium complex is caused by a group of bacteria that are closely related to tuberculosis and cause pulmonary disease. In men, it often occurs with pre-existing lung disease, especially from smoking. In older women, it more often occurs without any known lung disease. It is thought to be acquired by inhalation from water sources. Treatment is with multiple antibiotics, generally for 6 months or longer. The prognosis is good for people with sensitive bacteria, but disease from resistant bacteria is hard to treat. Consultation with an expert is necessary in such cases, and surgery is an occasional option. Although new antibiotics are always being developed, I am unaware of any imminent breakthrough.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 61 with rain showers. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 70s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper 50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 1 p.m.
This program is made available to the IAAIS Program Share and was recorded at the Audio Reading Service of the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for people with print impairments.
Welcome. This is Prevention, and I'm your reader, Adrian Booker, with the Audio Reading Service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, I'll be reading from Prevention Magazine's March 2021 issue. And now, I'll begin with an article from Prevention's science section entitled Unlock Your Genes by Megan Rabbit. Your DNA determines your risk for certain diseases, yet new science shows that you may be able to change more than you think. Here's what you can do to affect your genetic destiny and live a healthier life. Most of us go through life thinking we're blessed and dinged by the genes we've inherited. Maybe you got your mom's gorgeous eyes, but also her astigmatism. Or you scored the tall and slender genes from your father's side of the family, but worry that you also have their predisposition to Alzheimer's. Though we cannot change our genetic makeup, we can positively influence how our DNA gets expressed, says Brandon Colby, MD, the author of Outsmart Your Genes and a clinical geneticist in Beverly Hills. You can think of your genes like a roadmap of possible routes, explains Dr. Colby. While your genes may mean your roadmap has paths that go toward heart disease or Alzheimer's, those paths aren't set in stone. They're just possibilities laid out by your genes. And there are a number of things you can do to program your genetic GPS so it takes you down a road toward health. Most diseases are determined by a combination of genetic and non-genetic factors, which means you can make changes that will minimize and maybe even eliminate your chances of contracting diseases for which your genes put you at risk, says Dr. Colby. It's empowering. Taking what we know about our own genetic predisposition, how can we reroute ourselves so we're on a path toward better health and maybe even sidestep issues our parents and grandparents faced? While the majority of our insight comes from genetic research, We are starting to get some guidance about the tens of thousands of studies in the emerging field of epigenetics, which looks at how lifestyle and environment can modify the ways genes function. Your genetic code explained. Before you take steps that can tweak your gene expression for the better, it's important to have a basic understanding of what genes are and how they work beyond giving you traits like eye and hair color. Here's a fact that will bring you back to Biology 101. Despite how vastly different humans seem from one another, we all inherit the same 20,000 plus genes, all made up of DNA. In every single one of the trillions of cells in your body, your DNA is organized into pairs of chromosomes. While both chromosomes in any given pair contain the same genes, the genetic code within those genes may be slightly different, says Dr. Colby. And when a cell divides, gene mutations, also known as variants, can come about. Differences within our genetic code are responsible for everything from what we look like to our personality traits to our predisposition to disease, says Dr. Colby. A rare mutation that occurs in one of the cells that combine to form an embryo, either the egg or the sperm, becomes a new genetic variant that neither parent has, but the child will. That child can then pass it along to future offspring. Sometimes this is a great thing. The fact that our genes have mutated over time is the reason humans have evolved to be smarter and live longer. On the flip side, sometimes a change in a gene can cause it to wreak havoc, explains Dr. Colby, which is why particular genes are associated with particular diseases. Some changes are prompted by factors such as too much sunlight, poor diet, smoking, and other environmental and lifestyle choices, which can lead to diseases like cancer. Other mutations occur as a result of aging or because of occasional mistakes made as the body's cells go through their normal process of dividing and multiplying. However, these generally don't pose any health risk. Luckily, your body detects and corrects most errors, and even if it doesn't, many gene mutations are harmless and won't affect your health, says Dr. Colby. However, some mutations are harmful, and those are the ones we can now detect and try to outsmart. Why your DNA isn't your destiny. Joshua Selsby, PhD, a muscle physiologist and a professor at Iowa State University, likes to compare our 20,000 genes to recipes in a big cookbook. While we get our genetic makeup, DNA, from our parents with fixed ingredients, through lifestyle choices, we can exert control over how often we make certain recipes. And while you can't change your cookbook, you can decide which recipes you cook the most. Say, for example, you exercise regularly. That healthy lifestyle choice is like making a good-for-you recipe over and over again, so many times that your cookbook will automatically open to that page for that recipe, says Keith Barr, PhD, a professor of molecular exercise physiology at the University of California, Davis. When it comes to the genes you use a lot, it's as if you're pushing on your genome like you'd push down the pages of the recipe you use repeatedly, he says. That's a great thing if what you're doing is something positive, like exercising or eating 12 servings of fruits and veggies a day, choices that change your genes in helpful ways. The converse is also true. As you might imagine, things like smoking, sitting for 12 hours a day can push on genes you don't want turned on. How you move, what you eat, and a number of other factors will affect your DNA, says Selsby, which means you can favor the genes that will help you live a long, healthy life and work to suppress the ones that put you at increased risk for disease. While you can't control your genetics, you can impact what you do with those genetics, Selsby says. How to outsmart your genes for better health. With advances in genetic testing, it's possible to understand your specific gene mutations, information that can help doctors, say, predict your risk of certain diseases and more precisely prescribe medication. You could even be offered truly targeted nutritional recommendations. Yet, even most geneticists agree that genetic testing isn't a must for most people, especially because most clinicians won't know how to support you with this kind of precision medicine. However, a handful of strategies will work across the board to turn on your health promoting genes and turn off ones that could cause problems. Below are several ideas for how to start. Amp up your exercise intensity. You already know that working out is one of the best things you can do for your health. And research shows that exercise, specifically weight training, can actually change your genes so they mimic those of someone much younger. In a study, men and women older than 65 did twice weekly resistant training for 6 months. Researchers then compared their muscle tissue to that of a group of 20-somethings, and they found a real change. The older adult's genetic fingerprint had actually reversed, reaching levels similar to those seen in the younger adults. Cardio workouts are still important too. In fact, when it comes to risk of breast cancer, exercise has been shown to have a significant and positive effect. Doing 4 or more hours per week of cardio exercise lowers the risk of breast cancer by about 30%. And experts think this is due to changes in the genes themselves. Also, an interesting study on breast cancer survivors suggested that increasing physical activity might affect genes that suppress tumors, which could boost survival outcomes. Think back to when you were a kid. You probably sprinted as fast as you could, pulled yourself up on the jungle gym, and tried to lift or push heavy things. And all this activity turns certain genes on, says Barr. Doing strenuous activity as an adult sparks your epigenetic memory, prompting those genes that respond well to exercise to respond again. Keep in mind that the key to triggering this reaction is to stress your body. That means that a couple of times a week you should do activity that goes beyond brisk walk around the block intensity, adds Barr. If you really push yourself, the genetic response will be bigger. Eat whole foods and ditch processed junk. What we eat serves as an epigenetic signal that can actually prompt changes, and these changes adjust important chemical tags on DNA, potentially influencing our health for better or worse. For example, a diet loaded with refined grains and lacking in fruits and veggies has been linked to DNA changes that stifle gene expression and cause disease. On the other hand, polyphenols found in fruits, vegetables, green tea, coffee, and red wine have been shown to reduce DNA damage, ultimately protecting against disease. It's also important to eat foods you enjoy. Be conscious of what you're eating and maintain a caloric intake at or slightly below what you need, Barr says. Find new ways to learn and to zap stress. When it comes to outsmarting gene mutations that might lead to cognitive decline, exercising your mind on a regular basis is especially important. This has been shown to stimulate the growth of new brain cells and strengthen the synapses between those cells, two things that keep you sharp as you age. And mental exercises you really enjoy have the added benefit of reducing stress, also key when it comes to programming your genetic GPS. Playing card games or chess, doing puzzles, attending lectures, learning a new language, and starting a new hobby all count, Dr. Colby says. And the best types of mental exercises appear to be those involving social interaction. A strong social network of friends has also been associated with a protective effect against Alzheimer's, possibly because it helps ease stress. Aim to do any of those brain-boosting activities for about an hour, 3 or more times a week. Many geneticists believe that whole genome sequencing as a regular part of healthcare is the wave of the future, and that will ultimately help healthcare practitioners create a precise, personalized medical plan for every patient. But until then, there's still a lot you can do to alter, minimize, and even entirely avoid your current genetic destiny, says Dr. Colby. You don't have to wait until illness appears and then try to treat it, he says. The best way to defeat disease will always be to prevent it, and we're learning how to do that by studying our genetic code and using the information it provides. All in the family? A number of conditions have a strong genetic component. These are three of the biggies, says Dr. Colby, and the gene mutations to be aware of for each. Breast cancer and other cancers. What we know. The BRCA1 and BRCA2 mutations are inherited from your mother or father and can increase your risk for developing breast cancer by 70%. The PIC3CA gene mutation isn't inherited and is more likely to tell docs how a patient might respond to cancer treatment. Alzheimer's disease. What we know. The APOE4 gene variation is the main genetic risk for the disease. It can lead to the buildup of harmful deposits in the brain that can compromise the function of brain cells. One study found that this variation also caused Alzheimer's disease to manifest earlier in life with memory decline before age 60. Heart disease. What we know. Many of us have genetic variants that increase our risk of cardiovascular disease no matter what our lifestyle. For example, the APOE gene plays a role in how the body processes cholesterol, and variants within this gene are associated with increased risk of premature death. The SCN5A gene is associated with heart arrhythmias, a risk factor for stroke. Three top questions about genetic testing answered. Number one, how exactly does genetic testing work? Cells from your body, typically via your saliva if it's an at-home test, or from blood if it's a test your doc ordered, are collected and sent to a lab, which looks at the DNA within those cells. The amount of genetic info reviewed can be small. For example, a test might look only for the APOE gene for Alzheimer's disease. Or huge, your entire genome may be sequenced. The resulting info goes to a geneticist who analyzes it and creates a report. Here's where genetic counselors can be incredibly helpful. They're trained to look at your specific gene mutations and help you tailor personalized prevention strategies. Number two. Do results stay confidential? In 2008, Congress made it illegal for, say, an insurance company to increase your premiums or refuse you coverage based on genetic info. But it's still a good idea to verify that test results will remain confidential, especially when using a personal genomics company such as 23andMe or one of its competitors. Your name and any other identifying info shouldn't be linked to your genetic information, Dr. Colby says. That way, even if a third party somehow managed to access your genetic info, there'd be no way to associate it with you. Number three, is there emotional fallout from being tested? Doctors and patients are concerned about the potential for that. But Dr. Colby says that while your anxiety may go up in the days and weeks after you learn you are at increased risk of disease, research shows that it's likely to return to baseline. Still, think this through and consider your mental health before making the decision. Your genes and COVID-19. A number of gene variants may sway the course of the novel coronavirus, says new research, which could help explain why some people with it barely feel sick and others end up in the intensive care unit. This research is in the early stages, says Jeremy Prokop, PhD, an assistant professor at Michigan State who studies genetic variants, including the ones involved in COVID-19. Right now, we know that obesity, diabetes, asthma, and chronic inflammation far outweigh genetic factors that put you at increased risk for a severe case, he says. But you can help researchers if you've had genetic testing. Report your COVID-19 status to the company that did the test, he says. It may help scientists who research the genetic signals of the virus. I'll now be reading an article in Prevention's food section entitled Nutrition, Foods to Soothe a Sore Throat by Stephanie Anderson Whitmer. When your throat hurts with every swallow, an ice-cold pop or a warm cup of tea might be all you want. But you need something more substantial to recover, and certain foods contain key nutrients that help tame symptoms and prop up your immune system. Often caused by allergies or a viral infection, such as a cold or the flu, most sore throats are short-lived and resolve on their own. But if one lasts longer than a week, or you also have symptoms like difficulty breathing or a rash, see a doctor who can check for more serious causes such as strep, which requires antibiotics. Next time you feel a little scratchy, reach for these picks to soothe and heal. Honey, the antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory properties of this sticky sweetener can help you get rid of a sore throat, and Manuka honey is particularly potent in this regard. Honey also coats the throat to help ease pain and stifle coughing. Honey boiled oranges. Remove peel and pith of 2 oranges and cut 1/4 inch thick. Arrange on oil rub baking sheet and drizzle with 1 tablespoon of honey. Broil until beginning to char, 5 to 7 minutes. Cut into pieces and serve with any juices over vanilla yogurt. Garlic. Allicin, a compound with antiviral, antibacterial, and antifungal properties, is found in garlic. So garlic may help speed recovery. To get allicin, consuming garlic raw is best, and crushing the cloves release it, says Lisa Young, PhD, RDN, author of Finally Full, Finally Slim. Cooked garlic does retain some allicin, so enjoy that if raw garlic is too intense. Lemon garlic herb oil. Heat 1/2 cup olive oil with 3 cloves garlic, thinly sliced, 4 sprigs fresh thyme, and a pinch of crushed red pepper until garlic begins to brown. Remove from heat and stir in 1 teaspoon grated lemon zest. Remove thyme sprigs and drizzle over smashed white beans or goat cheese on toast. Eggs. Soft, easy to swallow, and comforting. Eggs are the perfect sick day eats, but they're also a great source of vitamin D and omega-6 fatty acids, which both help support a strong immune system and fight throat-irritating inflammation. Italian egg drop soup. Bring 4 cups low-sodium chicken broth to a simmer and stir in 1/4 cup grated pecorino cheese. Beat 3 large eggs, then slowly and gradually whisk into broth to create thin strands. Remove from heat and stir in 3 cups baby spinach. Top with grated pecorino, cracked pepper, and lemon zest. Enjoy! Oatmeal. Antioxidants play a starring role in good immune function, and oats are rich in 3 big ones: magnesium, selenium, and zinc. Oatmeal also is high in fiber, which can help keep your digestive system humming. Multi-cooker steel-cut oatmeal. In multi-cooker, combine 3 1/4 cups water, 1 cup steel-cut oats, and 1/4 teaspoon salt. Cover and lock lid. Cook on high pressure 12 minutes. Let release naturally 10 minutes before releasing any remaining pressure. Uncover and stir to incorporate any excess liquid. Fold in 2 tablespoons of favorite jam and fruit. I'll now be reading an article in Prevention's Pulse section entitled Beauty Ingredient ID, Skin Superstar. Antioxidants give your whole body a health boost, including your skin. You may have tried popular picks like vitamin A, retinol, and vitamin C to fade dark spots and smooth wrinkles. But one tends to fly under the radar, ferulic acid. This antioxidant, which comes from the cell walls of certain plants, helps protect your face from harmful UV rays, reduces signs of aging, and minimizes redness, says Samaya Jamal, MD, PhD, a board-certified dermatologist at Schweiger Dermatology Group in New York City. But its real magic lies in its power to make other ingredients perform better. In fact, research shows that a combo of 15% vitamin C, 1% vitamin E, and 0.5% ferulic acid boosts the vitamin C's efficacy eightfold. Look for it in a serum, says Dr. Jamal, and apply it before moisturizer and sunscreen in the morning. Prevention picks. SkinCeuticals, CE Ferulic, $166. SkinCeuticals.com. Paula's Choice, C15 Super Booster, $49. DermStore.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Adrian Booker with Prevention. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 61 with rain showers. Tonight it will be cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the low 70s. Tomorrow night clear with a low in the upper 50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by GARS, the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Hello, I'm Allison Ramsey, and this is Health Magazine. Today, I'll begin reading from health.com. The first story is 5 ways to save on your next doctor's appointment and when to spend anyway. Avoid handing over heaps of cash for medical expenses when you don't have to. By Jennifer Chesek. Posted on March 16, 2021. We don't typically enjoy the feeling of parting with our hard-earned money. But paying for a vacation is decidedly a different feeling than forking over funds for a trip to the doctor, where you'll inevitably suffer the cold stethoscope to the chest, or worse. Medical appointments can add up fast and put anything from a small nick to a giant dent in your budget. Here are a few ways to save on those clinic visits, so you can still go on that vacay, and or put groceries in your pantry and pay your rent. 1. Access free or sliding scale services. First, it should be noted that nearly 30 million people in the United States don't have health insurance because of a lack of affordable options, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. And even when they do have coverage, not all folks can pay for basic services. Those out-of-pocket expenses can still be steep. If you don't have health insurance or can't afford copays, you still have options. The U.S. Health and Human Services Health Resources Administration has a directory of health centers that offer care on a sliding fee scale. You can get care without insurance, and even if you cannot pay. Additionally, FreeClinics.com has location-based search options for finding free and sliding fee scale clinics in your area. Many state, territorial, and local health departments also offer free services, such as vaccination, STI testing, birth control, and other family planning, and assistance for those who are pregnant or nursing, along with care for their infants. And the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, offers a list of LGBTQ+ resources with links to several free LGBTQ-friendly clinics and services around the country. If you are an American Indian or Alaska Native, Indian Health Services, IHS, has tribal and urban Indian health programs offering a range of health care options. You won't have to pay for services under IHS or when IHS refers you to a provider under its referral program. Sliding scale fees are also often available for many services at private clinics, including those for mental health and integrative medicine. If you're interested in seeking services from any clinic, but you're not sure about affordability, just ask. 2. Avoid the ER if it's not an emergency. Some health events absolutely require a trip to the emergency room. If you are experiencing a medical emergency, never hesitate to go. Under the Emergency Medical Treatments and Labor Act, you cannot be refused emergency medical treatments even if you do not have insurance or cannot pay. If you're not experiencing an emergency and you're dealing with an uncomfortable situation that's occurring after hours, urgent care will generally be the cheaper option by far, according to a study in the Annals of Emergency Medicine. A walk-in clinic might also provide a source of relief that won't break the bank. As long as you're not experiencing an emergency and you can wait it out until you can see your primary care doctor, that will likely be your cheapest bet. But some things can't wait, so don't hesitate to get the care you need when you need it. 3. Try telehealth options. Telehealth apps were gaining some steam well before the COVID-19 pandemic, but that business is now beyond booming. And part of the reason is because patients are liking the convenience and cost savings. Telehealth is often more affordable than in-person visits, says Benjamin Lefevre, CEO and founder of CertainTel, a telehealth company that partners with community-based organizations. Many healthcare providers simply charge one flat fee. Telehealth can also save you time. The average telehealth visit only takes about 15 minutes. An in-person visit takes an average of 2 hours, even though you only spend 20 minutes with the doctor. That time-saving aspect of telehealth provides its own value. For example, says Eric Bacon, president of AMD Global Telemedicine, not having to use 2 to 4 hours of vacation time for your own or a loved one's in-person doctor's appointment. So which telehealth option should you try? Here are a few to consider. Teladoc is a free app, and appointment fees are based on your health insurance plan. You can opt out for video or just voice chat and access a variety of medical specialists. If you tend to use telehealth a lot, K-Health offers a membership option at just $9 a month, or you can pay a one-time $19 fee, which is usually lower than many insurance co-pays. K-Health focuses on concerns you tend to see your primary care physician for, but also some mental health issues, such as anxiety and depression. The app just launched a version for parents who are looking for quick access to a pediatrician for their kiddos aged 3 and up. Nowadays, there are also specialty telehealth apps that can customize treatments for several issues. Examples include Apostrophe for some dermatology needs, Cove for help with migraines, and EverNow for managing menopause. EverNow is building medicine for women on their terms, says Dr. Alicia Jackson, EverNow's founder and CEO. For their goals and needs when they need it, where they are, and how they want it delivered. apps that home in on specific issues rather than focusing on all areas of health can help patients get fast, efficient care. We are now living in a time where turning to telehealth for specialty care is going to not only save money, but time and headaches as well, Jackson explains. We're seeing multiple ways that women nationwide are able to get more personal and streamlined care to critical health moments such as menopause. A big benefit for using a specialty telehealth app is saving money on repeat in-person appointments. If you have side effects or misunderstood a dosing instruction, Jackson says, you shouldn't have to worry about the extra spend it will require to reconnect with your doctor for a follow-up consultation. 4. Put your pre-tax dollars toward healthcare. You can also save money by leveraging some tax advantages. If you have employer-sponsored health insurance, you can use a flexible spending account, FSA, to pay for qualifying healthcare costs, such as copays and deductibles. Funding an FSA is done through a salary deferral, which reduces your overall taxable wages, says Brian Wainscott, CPA, Senior Tax Specialist at Personal Capital, an Empower company. You read that right. You do not have to pay income tax on the money that you contribute to your FSA. Your employer may also make contributions. An FSA has a $2,750 contribution limit per year per employer. The FSA money does not roll over to the next year, so you want to make sure you fund it carefully and spend it. But employers often offer a grace period into the next year or partial amount carryover options. 5. Plan ahead for health expenses. Health savings accounts, HSAs, also allow you to use tax advantages to pay for qualifying health care expenses. In a nutshell, they reduce how much you owe on income tax by directing funds toward your health. A win-win. HSAs actually are a great tool to help save money on routine health care costs while also preparing for unexpected medical emergencies, says Sherry Olson, Vice President of HR of WEX's Benefits Division. You can contribute to an HSA only if you have an HSA-eligible high-deductible health care plan. HDHCPs often have lower premiums at the expense of high deductibles, meaning you're stuck paying the bulk of your medical expenses until your high deductible is met. But if you contribute to an HSA, you can use that account to pay for your co-payments, your medical bills that count toward your deductible, and your co-insurance, the percentage of healthcare costs you're responsible for after your deductible is met. Olson offers a whole list of WEX of HSA eligible expenses, from acupuncture to x-rays. Telehealth is a recent addition to the list of HSA qualified medical expenses, she explains, and many people don't realize that things like mental health services, stop smoking programs, and telephone equipment for people with hearing and speech disabilities are also covered by an HSA. The more people know about HSAs, the more they will find ways they can use one to save on healthcare expenses and prepare for the unexpected. The IRS sets contribution limits, but it pays to fully fund your HSA each year if you can. The biggest mistake employees make with their HSA, Wainscott says, is not funding it enough. If you're in a high deductible health plan, it makes sense to open an account since your money is carried forward and accumulates. Your contributions can be invested and withdrawn when you need them for medical expenses. And your contributions are deductible when you file your taxes, even if you claim the standard deduction. Your health is priceless, says Colleen McCreary, Credit Karma's chief people officer and financial advocate. Whether it's your physical, mental, or emotional health, investing in your health can actually end up saving you money down the road if you put a strategy in place that works for your finances. That story was 5 Ways to Save on Your Next Doctor's Appointment and When to Spend Anyway by Jennifer Chesek, posted on March 16, 2021. The next story is 8 endometriosis diet tips that may help you manage symptoms, according to experts. Dietary changes won't cure endometriosis, but they could offer some relief, by Corinne Miller, posted on March 16, 2021. Dealing with endometriosis can be a regular lesson in frustration. There are treatments available, but they don't work well for everyone. And if that describes you, it's understandable that you'd want to do everything you can to try to make yourself feel better. Enter an endometriosis-focused diet. As you probably know, endometriosis is a condition where tissue that forms the lining of the uterus grows outside of it. That can lead to symptoms like intense pelvic pain before and during your period, diarrhea, and pain during sex. It's important to get this out there up front. Going on a special diet won't cure endometriosis and isn't even a guarantee to help your symptoms. But experts say you might get some form of relief from altering what you eat. There is some data that diets may play a role in either exacerbating or controlling symptoms. Amanda N. Kalin, MD, an assistant professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the Yale School of Medicine, tells Health. But dietary changes alone should not be considered a first-line treatment for true endometriosis. Still, the role in diet in endometriosis has gained more attention in recent years, says Jessica Shepherd, MD, an OBGYN in Texas, tells Health. Several processes that are linked to endometriosis, like inflammation and estrogen activity, can be impacted by your diet, Dr. Shepherd says, leading doctors to think there might be something there. Eating a healthy diet can make you feel more comfortable and healthy overall, and there are some studies evaluating whether dietary changes can be a complementary therapy as well. Christine Greaves, MD, a board-certified OBGYN at the Winnie Palmer Hospital for Women and Babies, tells Health. Though there are no clear recommendations at this point for eating a special diet when you have endometriosis, it's generally thought that some changes might help. Interested in giving it a try? Doctors say these dietary moves are worth considering. Limit trans fats. Trans fats can naturally occur in animal products or be added to processed foods for taste and texture. But trans fats can raise your bad LDL cholesterol levels and lower your good HDL cholesterol levels, per the American Heart Association. Eating trans fats also raises your risk of developing heart disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes. An older but often cited study published in the journal Human Reproduction analyzed 12 years of data from the Nurses Health Study 2, looking specifically at diets in women. Researchers found that among 1,199 cases of endometriosis, women who ate a diet high in trans fats were 48% more likely to be diagnosed with endometriosis than others. A high intake of trans fats and potentially of animal fats is associated with a higher risk of endometriosis, Dr. Shepherd says. Trans fats tend to show up in fried, processed, and fast foods and can show up on food labels as partially hydrogenated oils. Doing your best to avoid them may help. Avoid gluten. Gluten is a protein found in most grains, and it usually works as a binder in breads and baked goods. There isn't a ton of data on this one, but one older study had 207 endometriosis patients go on a gluten-free diet and found surprising results. After 12 months on the gluten-free diet, 75% of patients had a statistically significant change in their pain. As a result, the authors concluded, painful symptoms of endometriosis decrease after 12 months of gluten-free diet. Research has linked gluten with bodily inflammation, and that may exacerbate endometriosis pain, Dr. Greaves says. Eat a low FODMAP diet. FODMAP stands for fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. These are short-chain carbohydrates that your small intestine has trouble absorbing, per Johns Hopkins Medicine. As a result, some people can struggle with digestive symptoms like stomach cramps, diarrhea, and bloating after eating foods high in FODMAPs, like dairy-based milk and yogurt, wheat products, asparagus, onions, apples, and pears. One smaller study published in the Australian New Zealand Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology looked at 160 women and found that 72% of those with endometriosis reported a more than 50% improvement in bowel symptoms after 4 weeks on a low FODMAP diet, compared to 49% of people with irritable bowel syndrome. Endometriosis is often misdiagnosed as IBS. The low FODMAP diet appears effective in women with gut symptoms and endometriosis, the researchers concluded. FWIW, low FODMAP foods include things like eggs, meat, some cheeses, brie, cheddar, feta, almond milk, rice, eggplant, cucumber, grapes, and strawberries. Keep tabs on how much red meat you eat. A review of studies on diets and endometriosis in a Polish obstetrics and gynecology journal found a link between eating beef, ham, and other types of red meat and a higher risk of endometriosis. The exact reason for the link isn't clear, but research has found red meat may cause inflammation in your body, and bodily inflammation may exacerbate endometriosis, Dr. Greaves says. Stock up on fruits. This one is slightly vague, so hang in there. A study published in 2018 in Human Reproduction that analyzed data from 70,835 women who participated in the Nurses' Health Study 2 cohort found that those who ate more fruits, especially citrus fruits, had a lower risk of developing endometriosis than those who didn't partake in a high-fruit diet. It wasn't a lot of fruit, just one serving or more a day. Our findings suggest that a higher intake of fruits, particularly citrus fruits, is associated with a lower risk of endometriosis, the researchers concluded. It's hard to say whether the data translates to helping once you actually have endometriosis, but Dr. Grieve points out that eating foods that are good for your overall health may simply make you feel better as a whole, and that may make it easier to handle endometriosis symptoms. Eat iron-rich food. It's common to struggle with fatigue and weakness when you have endometriosis. Research published in the journal Comparative Medicine has suggested it might be due to lower levels of iron in people who have the disease. Iron is an essential component of hemoglobin, a red blood cell protein that transfers oxygen from your lungs to your tissues, and having low iron levels can cause symptoms like fatigue and trouble concentrating. The only way to know for sure if you're struggling with low iron is to see your doctor for a blood test. If you do, in fact, have low iron levels, aka anemia, your doctor may recommend that you take a supplement or to try to eat more foods with iron. Those can include lean meats, seafood, and iron-fortified foods like cereal. Reach for foods high in omega-3 fatty acids. Omega-3 fatty acids are important components of the membranes that surround each cell in your body, per the National Institutes of Health, NIH. They also help give your body energy and help keep important organs like your heart and lungs working well. Research has found that people who take omega-3 fatty acids, i.e. fish oil, have less endometriosis pain and inflammation, and even improve the quality of life in people with severe endometriosis. The why is a little unclear, but it's been suggested that omega-3 fatty acids positively impact the production of prostaglandins, compounds in the body that have hormone-like effects and reduce pelvic pain. The literature suggests that an increased consumption of omega-3 has a positive effect on endometriosis, Dr. Shepherd says. Have antioxidant-rich foods. Antioxidants are man-made or natural substances that might prevent or delay some types of cell damage. A study of 398 patients with endometriosis-associated pelvic pain published in the European Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology and Reproductive Biology, found that those who took antioxidant supplements had a significant drop in pain after 6 months. It's not entirely clear why, but Dr. Greaves says it could be linked to bodily inflammation, something antioxidants typically fight. The hope is that it could act on the inflammatory process and reduce the pain, she says. If you want to add more antioxidants into your diet, having more fruits and vegetables is a good way to go. Again, doctors say that a healthy diet isn't considered a first-line treatment for endometriosis, but eating well may help with your symptoms. Callen says that dietary changes can be a reasonable part of a multi-pronged treatment approach for endometriosis. Eating a healthy diet doesn't hurt and may actually make a person feel better, Dr. Greaves says. In turn, it may give them more strength when having the discomforts of endometriosis. If you're in pain, talk to your doctor and keep the dialogue open. Whether dietary changes or hormone therapy will help, you shouldn't have to live that way. That story was 8 Endometriosis Diet Tips That May Help You Manage Symptoms, According to Experts, by Corin Miller, posted on March 16, 2021 on health.com. Switching to the January-February 2021 issue of health.com, I'll read, Keep Your Brain Busy. Maintaining an active mind is just as important as staying physically fit. Instead of scrolling through social when you have a free few minutes, engage your brain with one of these fun apps. Study a new language. Duolingo. Free. Ad-free. Duolingo Plus. $13 a month. Duolingo lets you approach a new language almost like a game, employing quick, fun lessons. You're encouraged to pick up language patterns through varied learning settings, the idea being that you can foster long-term retention and apply the skills in real life. Stay up on current events. Inkl, I-N-K-L, $10 per month or $100 per year. Inkl allows you to curate and bundle more than 100 global news sources into one place. Click one app and pay one membership to retrieve all of your news in the morning. Staying up on current events and reading from multiple outlets is a great way to form your own opinions and promote critical thinking. Plus, a membership-based app eliminates extra ads and clutter. Attend a lecture, TED, free. The TED Talk app offers thousands of lectures from expert speakers on everything from science and technology to business and entrepreneurship to music and the arts. Sharpen your problem solving, Luminosity, free. Premium, $11.95 per month. This brain training app uses science-backed games to test and improve your memory, processing speed, and problem-solving skills. Luminosity games are often simple, tasking the user to dodge obstacles on a racetrack or find a hidden treasure or unscramble words. But they require undivided attention, quick response times, memorization, and critical thinking. That story was Keep Your Brain Busy from the January-February 2021 issue of Health Magazine. That concludes today's readings of Health Magazine. This has been Allison Ramsey for GARS. Thank you for listening to the Georgia Radio Reading Service.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
Sherwood Church of Christ, 4900 North Dixie Boulevard, offers free clothing on the first Saturday of every month. With so many families in the community are losing their jobs due to COVID and the downturn in oil, the Sherwood Clothes Closet is an opportunity for people to find needed clothing items for the entire family. Hours are 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m.
Sure, Paula Deen and Guy Fieri are experts in the kitchen, but would they be able to pull off their delicious recipes if they had no eyesight? Dale Campbell may have lost his vision, but he didn't lose his creativity. Each week, Dale and co-host Cheryl Cummings bring you new recipes and cooking tips, specifically for those who have low vision or no vision on Cooking in the Dark. Wednesdays at 8, Sundays at noon, and Mondays at midnight on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
My job.